Tuesday to you. Television Radio Rocks, Bay Ragney here, and we're ready to do some true rocking and freaking rolling tonight. That's right, talking to Danny Rexon of the band Crazy Licks from Sweden. They got a new album out called Forever Wild. We talked all about the new album, talked about some old stuff, talked about the, you know, the true 80s classic influence. We talked about, he actually opened up and talked about how the name of the band has kind of really turned people off over the years. We also talked about how the band almost broke up a few years ago, and they got a new lineup together with two new guitarists, and this is their second album together with this lineup, and the band's stronger and better than ever. We talked about music videos and just tons and tons more. So let's like really just get into it. So without further ado, here he is, Danny Rexon, Crazy Licks.
Good, man. Good. Super busy, I guess, huh? Tons of interviews and all the press?
Yeah, I've had some of these last few days. So, yeah, but it's all good.
It's got to be the exciting time, though, of the album.
Yeah, very. I mean, we've been you know, doing like promotional work for this for so long now. So it's nice to finally have the release day kind of behind us. So now we're looking ahead to... you know, start the festival season,
right?
And just you know, hitting the road with the new songs.
So here's something crazy, and you might say to yourself, like, where the hell you been? But so I never listened to Crazy Licks just because I don't know, like, I you know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. So I've seen the name for years, Crazy Licks, and I'm a guy who grew up in the heart of the 80s and all that. And a friend of mine's band was called Quick Licks.
All right.
And it always reminded me of that, and he passed away a few years ago, and it just, every time I saw it, it just kind of reminded me of him, kind of bummed me out. But still,
you know, it's been a bit problematic because of the name, because when I, you know, when I chose the name, first of all, I was quite young, and it was like a big reaction to what was popular at that time. We started the band in 2002, and you know, in Sweden at that time, it was just like melodic death metal, you know, Gothenburg sound, and a few like new metal bands. So you know, coming out of the blue and naming your band Crazy Licks, which was, you know, obviously a hint towards the 80s, that was you know, it had some shock value. But of course, I do recognize that it may also alienate some people, because they think that it's you know, one of those bands, basically. So I think we moved away from the original thought, but you know, once you choose a name, you're kind of stuck with it. So I do get that a lot. You know, people have seen the name, but they just figured, okay, it's just another, you know, kind of all looks, no hooks band. But I'm glad you checked this out anyway.
But you know, there's tons of hooks, and I'm thinking to myself, like if you guys were around in 1989 in the States, like, you guys would have been massive.
Yeah, you know, that's always a thing that comes into mind, of course. But on the other hand, I think, you know, for me playing this music, it's a lot about nostalgia for me. I was born in 82, so I kind of missed out on most of it.
Yeah.
I remember it from being very small. But I imagine, you know, if I was born in the 60s, I would probably be as nostalgic about the rock of the 60s. I would be sitting there, you know, in the 80s when this kind of music was popular, and just wanting to break with my kind of 60s rock band. So chances are I would be, you know, the same kind of conservative guy back then. So I think you got to do what you can from the time you're living in. Obviously, it's not the best time for you know, rock music in general. It's not the mainstream music anymore, but there is a lot of fans still. I was actually a bit surprised by seeing now on our streaming services that the average listener is actually I think it was a 27-year-old male, which kind of makes them born, you know, mid-90s. So so they really missed out on it, and shouldn't even have a nostalgic feeling about it. So I'm happy that we're actually reaching out to what looks to be a new kind of a new generation of listeners.
You know, I kind of looked at it too, where like kind of like not only you're paying, like, you know, tribute to that golden time of music, but you're also like continuing to wave the flag. And then I was thinking to myself, like, do you get that a lot? Where, like, now you're influencing these younger kids of today. Do you get the kids come up to you and say, you know, I picked up a guitar because of you guys, or I started singing in my band because of you. You know what I mean? Like, are you getting that influence now?
Well, you know, just recently, for a couple of years, there's been a change, and I've seen, you know, people are looking for, you know, maybe you see an ad or something, people are looking for musicians to start a band, and they kind of mention us in the same sentence as they mention, you know, Whitesnake or Alice Cooper, and that's a bit strange for me, because when I was in that situation looking for band members, obviously I wrote the same bands, but I didn't have any modern bands to refer to. So I'm happy that they feel like we belong in that same kind of group, and I've seen a lot of bands actually naming us as influences now just recently. So I'm really happy about that, and I do think it can still be, you know, rejuvenated in a way, if you know, people start noticing that there actually are new bands. I mean, we're 15, 16 years in it, but newer, I would say, bands than you know, in the 80s. So, yeah, I have noticed it, but only recently, I would say.
That's wild. Now, Saul, too, you guys went through like member changes a couple years ago, and it seemed like it was something like, from what I read, like you almost kind of decided like to maybe that was it for Crazy Licks, or to go a different direction or something.
Well, you know, there was a time after our self-titled album, which was in 2015, where both our guitarists left.
Right.
It was a hard time. You know, it was problematic within the band also, between band members and stuff. So, and also, you know, creatively a bit of a, I know a lot of people like that album, but for me, I'm always kind of, you know, associating it with a not very good time in the band. So, at that time we actually, were thinking when they left, which way do we go now? Do we keep this on and try to find new members, or do we just call it quits, basically? But we were lucky enough to kind of already have one of the members, you know, within reach, because he was actually a standing guitarist for us earlier, and he'd been doing some studio engineering jobs for us as well. So we knew of him. And the other one just happened to be in the same town as us. I've been aware of him for many years. He played in another band in our town. So we got together and tried it out, and I think that actually is the most stable and I think the best lineup that we have. So
that's awesome.
Since then we've released two albums, and I think this last one is, in my opinion, our strongest. So I'm happy we didn't call it quits back then.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of them things where it truly shows you that like things happen for a reason, and it kind of happened like for, you know, the betterment of the band and like a personal situation too, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've always wanted to have a band that doesn't change a lot of members, because I usually don't like that as well. But then I look at some of my favorite bands like Iron Maiden, you know. Okay, so they had a stable lineup for a very long time. But before they found that, they actually moved through a lot of, you know, Bruce Dickinson is their second lead singer, and a bunch of guitarists went through the band before they found it. So I think, you know, sometimes it takes a little longer, sometimes it doesn't, but once you find that lineup, I think for us at least, it changed a lot. And not to say that the other members were bad in any way. I don't think we were, you know, such a good fit at the end of the day.
Sure, sure. Now, how about that? You know, this is now the second album with this lineup. Was there anything done differently for this new album than the previous album? Or?
Well, actually, this was the first time that we had the kind of luxury to have the same lineup for two albums, two consecutive albums, and also the same studio, the same mixing guy. I was the producer on both these albums. So for one time in our career, we actually had the possibility of having some, you know, continuity when it came to the album. So all of the other albums have always started with, you know, some member changes, as you said, and we've been forced to kind of move around and record in different places. So what we did now was basically just wanting to build on the last album and just, you know, take it up a notch on you know, every detail, and just increase it and make it a bit better than it was last time. So I would say these last two albums, I think, are, you know, sound-wise the most similar, I would say.
Now, but this one, from what I was reading too, it kind of sounds like this one you want more of like a poppier rock sound.
Well, yeah, I mean, on the last album, we actually started the entire process with we had this request from a video game, Friday the 13th video game. Okay. They wanted us to do some music for the game, and I came up with three songs that were later featured in this game. So those three songs were naturally kind of gloomy. They were about Jason and you know, kind of evil. So that set the tone for the entire album. So it's a bit darker, I would say. On this album, we wanted to move away a bit from that, and we didn't have this you know, commissioned songs to do. So instead, we kind of invented this 80s style action movie, which we called Silent Thunder, and it was about jet fighter pilots and stuff. So I wrote the song Silent Thunder for that. For that, you know, made up movie, and then the other songs kind of followed suit. So I think that's why it's a lot more uplifting, a lot more summer feel to this album, and a lot more, you know, as you say, poppy compared to the last one.
You know what? And you just said it, and that really kind of sums it up. It does have that summer feel. Like you can picture, like you know, being in a car with the top down, you know, sun gleaming, hair blowing in the wind. That sums it up, man.
I do hope it will become the summer soundtrack for some of our fans, and I think it has that kind of potential.
You know, too, with that the whole Silent Thunder, you got like this whole Air Force thing going on with the. I mean, you're doing it with the T-shirts and all now, like building the whole like brand out of it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we love those kinds of movies from the 80s, so. We thought it would be a cool concept to kind of bring back. We haven't seen it for a long time. So,
And you end up, it seems like...
Sorry for the cough.
That's all right. It seems like, too, with a lot of the videos that I was going back and watching, like, older videos and stuff, like, you always paid a little homage to the 80s, too. Like, it's something in the video or a lot of them with a little tape deck in the beginning or something.
I mean, we work with a pretty small budget compared to what they had in the 80s and 90s. So we kind of have to just get that overall feeling there. And you can do that by planting certain, you know, details from that will give that kind of nostalgic feeling to it. So, you know, we have a lot of fun doing the videos. And even on a low budget, I think we can always do something that's interesting for people to see. So we try to make them as, you know, as fun as we can, considering what we have to work with, basically.
Yeah, but I mean, what you guys do, I mean, it's pretty cool and it's pretty amazing you know, it's entertaining. Like at the end of the day, it's like it's a very entertaining video that sucks you in and wants you to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, and that is the point, after all, you know, from the start. So I'm happy you think that it's entertaining.
It brings me back to the time of me being a teenager. That's the way, like between the music and the videos. I mean, the two, and then you get the two together. It was totally like making me feel like a 17, 18 year old kid again.
Yeah, it's such a shame that they just have sitcoms on MTV now, though. it would be cool to see your video on TV for a change. It's all online now.
You know, it's amazing to me, like what MTV has become and what it was. It doesn't make sense to me at all.
And I don't think that this generation will quite understand what it was about and you know, how it was a big thing that they played videos on TV and you could sit up and wait for stuff actually to happen instead of just, you know, going on the internet, finding what you need for the moment. They're very on demand, this new generation, I would say.
Absolutely. Spoiled. We're all spoiled. So now tour-wise... And you said it, summer festival season is upon us. It's getting ready to start kicking off. How about an actual tour? Are you guys doing a tour? Are you just going to do the summer festival season? Or?
So we're doing the festivals now, and we'll be doing that until September, early September, I think. And then the only thing that we have announced for now is we're going to Japan at the end of September. So we'll be doing two shows there in Tokyo and Osaka. And that will be our first visit to Japan, so really looking forward to that.
That's huge. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been a big market for us for years, but just haven't been able to get around going there. But so we'll be checking out how the fans in Japan are. Then we have, you know, a lot of options actually open in the fall. We're not sure entirely how, you know, what we're going to do, and but we'll announce it, you know, during the summer, I would think. But as of now, there's not really any definite plan after Japan.
Now, have you guys ever made it over here to the States at all, or?
We were at a festival last year in Chicago, and unfortunately, it was a festival that demanded us to be exclusive because that's how they wanted to market it. So we weren't able to play any more shows while we were still there. So we have been in the U.S. The problem with the U.S., of course, is that it takes a lot of, you know, a lot of paperwork, a lot of money as well, just to get the work permits and the visas and stuff, you know, for a band from Europe. So we know a lot of bands kind of sneak into the U.S. and do like small club tours with borrowed equipment, but we wouldn't want to risk anything like that. And, you know, doing it, if we're coming, we're doing it legally, definitely. So for us, it's a lot of work, and a lot of time has to be put in to make it possible. But we'll be definitely looking into it, and I would think it's at the earliest next year. So I don't think there will be anything this year in the U.S. But we're definitely we want to come because it's you know, it's our biggest market in the U.S. as well. So we'll definitely want to explore that further.
Cool. Yeah, it'd be awesome to see you guys here. I mean, the scene needs bands like you guys here. It truly does. The scene seems like here in the States, in a lot of markets, I'm talking to people. It's like, actually, I was just talking to somebody over in Europe the other day, and tribute band. It's like there's tribute bands everywhere, and they're just taking over territories.
Yeah. And what are they going to do when there's no more original music to play? Right. It always baffles me with these cover bands and tribute bands. I mean, of course you can do it, and you can do it for a couple of years, but at some point you run out of material. You know, how long after Pink Floyd have stopped playing will a Pink Floyd tribute band be relevant to people?
Exactly.
But I guess to each his own, you know.
But what happens if there's now, if we end up with like a Crazy Licks tribute band?
Oh, well, that will be flattering, of course. But I would, if I met the guys and they would, you know, if they did a good job, I would say thanks. But I would recommend them to you know, start looking into actually making original material. That is the only way that the genre can survive, after all. So, and we're at a difficult place when it comes to rock. It's definitely stopped being, you know, the mainstream popular music that it was in the 80s and 90s. So we're in a different situation where rock is once more very, I would say, underground, but still with the internet is very available. But,
yeah,
you know, it's more dependent on people actually having to actively find it. You won't hear it on the radio. You won't see it on the TV and stuff like that, as we did maybe in the 80s and 90s. So but there's definitely a lot of it about, and I think it's moving towards the right direction. But at the same time, it's drowning in everything else that's being released all the time. So
true,
it is hard.
It is. So all right, so Danny, where should we send everybody to get the new album?
Well, I'm not sure where. Do we have physical CD stores in the U.S. anymore? We hardly have any in Europe. So,
yeah,
but I would just recommend it. You know, Amazon probably would be the easiest. We actually don't sell the albums from our online store, but we do, however, sell our official merch. And I would definitely recommend people checking that out, especially if they're into, you know, helping us a bit. Along, that's always great, you know, buy a CD, buy a t-shirt, and it helps us, you know, get out there on the road and play some music for you. So
absolutely. Well, Danny, this was a great talking to you, man. I'm honestly, God, I'm loving what I'm hearing. So you converted.
Thank you very much.
I'm now a Crazy Licks fan.
Oh, cool. So you have a whole back catalog to check out now as well.
Absolutely. So I have plenty of hours of listening, and you're going to make me 18 all over again. I can never thank you enough.
No problem. Thanks.
Thank you, man. And if I can just get you to cut a quick ID for me. This is Danny Repton from Crazy Licks, and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio.
Totally Driven Radio. All right. Hey everyone, this is Danny Rexham from Crazy Licks, and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio.
Awesome. Danny, thanks so much, man. I'm glad we got this hooked up.
Thank you.
Take care.
Cheers.
Bye.
back to your rocks, Bay Raggy here, and there they are, Crazy Licks with Silent Thunder off their new Forever Wild. Get it, check it out. Check out the video too. It's a little nostalgia for you, a little throwback to like the Top Gun era of stuff. You know, they always try to like do that little homage to the 80s. It's good stuff. And they got their like this whole Air Force thing there. This whole Air Force kind of gimmick, motif thing they're pushing right now with the band, so, which is pretty cool. So check them out. Crazy Licks, all over the world of social media, you know, Spotify, all that fun stuff, iTunes, Google Play, everything. And thanks to Frontiers Music for, you know, they've been with the guys in Frontiers for 10 years now. It's a long freaking time, so. But anyway, make sure you check us out as well, Totally Driven Radio, Totally Driven Entertainment. Look for us all over the world of social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Look for myself, Bay Ragney. And, yeah, do it. Like us, love us, follow us. And make sure you do these very, very important words we're about to say to you. Stay driven. See you, everybody.